Well, I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day this morning. Boy, I tell you, what a good day. What a good day it is. We do have a gift for you mothers after church. We want to make sure all moms get a nice little carnation this morning. So we wanted to give that to you on the way out because we know as moms, to have one more thing in your hand this morning, it would be absolutely insane. So on your way out, we want to give you a gift to say happy Mother's Day, make you feel just a little bit more special today as you leave this place today. I want to invite you all, and I mean this, I want to invite all of you to our celebration of ministry next Sunday. Next Sunday after church, we are coming together as a church, and we're going to celebrate the year in review. We're going to celebrate what has taken place this entire year. We call it a celebration of ministry. Others may call it local church conference. And so what this is basically a time where we can look and hear a kind of report of what some of the ministries have taken place in this last year, what we've been doing. We want to celebrate what God is doing in our midst and then looking to the future about what he's where he's going, where he's taken us, what is some of the plans that are developing. We'll be talking about maybe the building project and talking about some different things that moving forward in our church. So you don't want to miss it. Lunch will be provided. And so we're going to invite all members, all non-members, all people who attend, and we want you to be here after church next week. So it'll be a fantastic time of celebrating what God is doing. And so as we continue this morning, we're going to continue in the direction of discipleship. As we talked last Sunday, we talked about discipleship and what it truly means to be a disciple of Jesus, a Christ follower. So if you're a non-Christian here today, if you don't have Jesus, this sermon may not be for you. And that's okay. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening online. But I want to just make sure that you realize that this is a sermon or a teaching this morning that is for the Christian who is wanting to understand his or her role in faith, his or her role in our ministry, in our direction, in the journey that you and I are a part of called Christianity. And so with this, it's like a part two in the sermon from last week. But I wanted to share with you, illustrate what discipleship may mean and what it looks like according to Scripture, but also just some tidbits and some tricks and some hints and some tactics of what true discipleship looks like. And so this is going to be kind of practical teaching this morning, real practical for us to write some notes, do some thinking. And my goal at the end of this, the time that we have together today, is that I want Holy Spirit to stir you enough to where you're going to make action out of what is going on this morning. I want Holy Spirit to stir your soul, to stir your spirit, and so that you will be prepared and say, yes, I really need to do something in discipleship. So remember last Sunday, we talked about the baton, right, of passing the baton. What a good runner does, what a good it's that whole track and field kind of thing. This is that time of year. But what a good relay race is when you pass this baton. It's the item in which those that you're running with, and then you're finding a teammate to give the baton to. And once that baton is passed, then your teammate runs the next leg of the race. And then once that leg of the race is completed, the baton then is passed on to the next runner, and then they complete the next leg of the race. And so as a great team, they accomplish this thing called a race. And it's a journey. And so just like that, we as Christians, we're on a journey. You're on a journey. And you maybe didn't realize this, but you as a Christian have a baton in your hand. You have this thing that needs to be passed on to the next generation. You need to be passing this on to those people around you. It's not necessarily even a generational thing where it's young and old, or the old people need to pass the baton on to the young people, because that just takes too long. It takes too long. If you're young, don't let anybody look down upon you because you're young. Pass the baton to somebody else. Listen, I'm telling you what, some of our young people, for our young adults, you have the baton in your hand because you've been raised in the church. You've been raised in Christianity. And that baton is in your hand. And the world is simply saying, you don't have one of those in your hand. You're not good enough. You don't have a good Christian relationship with God. You're a sinner. The devil comes in and says, you're no good. You're good for nothing. Don't look, let anybody or anything look down upon you just because you're young. But set an example. Set an example. And so that's a charge to all of us as Christians, that we are to be passing the baton. You're not to sit on it. You're not to hide it. You're not to stick it in your coat, and you're to put it in your gym bag, because it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You can't run a relay race without the baton. You're disqualified. And so as we think of discipleship, as we think of your relationship with God, as we think of who you are, who you're made to be, who I'm made to be, our calling as Christians is to disciple someone else in the faith, is to pass the baton of faith to someone else, to encouragement, to teaching, to helps, to spurring one another on, as the Hebrew writer says in chapter 10, spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. And so as we read this morning in Matthew chapter 28, the very last thing, I read this last week, one of the very last teachings of Jesus on this earth, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. So I wanted to take a look this morning, some very practical ways of how we can make disciples. So we're going to do some teaching here. And so if you want to take some notes, that's great. If you want to take out your cell phone and put some notes in here. But this is kind of a good place this morning to really take a look at what disciple making looks like. So number one, the process has to be simple, you guys. It has to be simple. I'm taking a lot of this from John West's book. There's a great guy that he's a Wesleyan pastor. Some of you have read that book in here. We've taken a look at it as a board. We've taken a look at some discipleship ministries. And so some of this is really taken from John West, and it's really just an easy method of discipleship. Because I'm telling you, we've confused it like crazy in the church. We've confused discipleship. We made it so difficult. We made it so hard where you have to have some sort of theology degree. There's a feeling that you have to be a pastor or a pastor in training like Jude or something like that, where you just feel like, I can't possibly disciple anybody. I'm just a churchgoer. I just belong to the church. No, the process is simple. It has to be simple. We've congested it. We've confused it. We've complicated it way too much in the church. You got to have a curriculum. You got to have a certain series. You have to have books. You have to read entire books. You have to have certain things. We don't have to confuse it. It can be super simple. And so starting this process is just making it easy, making it simple. And that's one of our goals here at the church, is just making it commonplace that discipleship is simple. And we'll talk about it and why and how it's simple. We talk about, we got these things called my groups that we've started, and some of you are in a my group, and it's MI, like my important group, right? That's the my groups. That's who we are. That's who I want to be a church of, is a church of small groups, my groups, people coming together. It's got to be simple. It's got to be simple. Number two is the curriculum is the Bible, and I alluded it to earlier, but like, we don't have to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on curriculum, on discipleship material. Because what happens when you all go through a discipleship book? It goes on the shelf. And can we go through this discipleship book again next year? Well, of course not. That'd be a horrible church faux pas to run the same curriculum 2 years in a row. Well, maybe 3 years. Well, no, we gotta buy the latest and greatest curriculum. We gotta find the greatest authors possible. In discipleship. No. The curriculum is the scriptures. I mean, what a better source? Can you find a better source than the Bible? And so the curriculum in discipleship is the scripture. And it's interesting. I don't know if you realize this, but in days of old, if you study church history, the common folk, which would be you all, not on stage, right? Y'all common folk, they weren't allowed to read the scriptures for themselves. Did you know that? I mean, they weren't allowed to read the scriptures because you had to have somebody of authority and education, someone who was anointed as the Holy One to differentiate and read the scriptures to you. You see, that's not very biblical. That's not biblical at all. It's not the way that God designed things. It was that you have to hear the scriptures being read through a translator, so to speak. That's the days of old. And sometimes I feel like we kind of attach to that theory still as church. We're like, wait, I can't possibly read the Bible. I need pastor to decipher this for me. You see, that's when we decided to say, or our fathers, the Christian fathers, decided to think about the lingua franca, the common language, and writing scripture in the common language so that everyone could read it for themselves. And I'm just wanting to let you know that you're allowed to read the scripture yourselves. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing comes from the Holy Spirit into you, so those pages of the Word of God become alive, become fresh, become new, become life-giving. And so we use the Holy Bible, the scriptures, as our curriculum in discipleship. Number three, I alluded it just to now, the teacher is the Holy Spirit. So when we think of, I need to be a discipler, I need to be someone who disciples someone to disciple someone that disciples someone. You think, wow, I'm not a teacher. I can't possibly understand the Word of God and teach somebody else what it has to say. And my question is, why not? Why not? I mean, if you can read, I understand if you have problems reading, that's one thing. But in our society, there is so much that we can do if you have problems reading. You can go online and you can hear the Word of God. There's so many different study notes and Bibles and things, but you can read, you can discern what God is saying through the Scriptures. And so you're not the teacher. You just read it and you say, Lord, I don't know what I just read. Holy Spirit, would you just be the teacher in this situation? That's it. And so when we realize that we don't have to be a teacher in discipleship, we don't have to be the one that is the professional in the room. We're just like everybody else and say, Holy Spirit, I depend on you. I depend on you. And so it's that idea that you don't have to be dependent on a priest or a pastor or someone else to teach the scriptures. You guys, we are in one of the greatest, I'm telling you, the greatest times in the world, if you think about it. When it comes to knowledge, when it comes to understanding scripture, when it comes to all of the many people who have, in just recent history, who have translated, like William Tyndale, you've heard that word? I mean, they've translated the Bible into English. We are living in a time in our society, in our world, in creation, that is immeasurable how great we have it. How great we have it. My son Jude was just sharing with me this morning. He's like, here's his, you know, he's got his Bible and stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's a pretty looking Bible, you know, it's pretty. I'm like, that's cool. And he goes, oh, check this out. He pulls out his phone. And he takes a what do they call, like a QR code reader deal. He pulls up the app and he just pulls it on and there's like a little number up here at the top of the page. And that in his app, it gave him study notes. It gave him all of the original languages. And it gave him just different cross references. It was a beautiful study tool. And I'm like, what? I've never seen that before. I learned something today. I learned something. I've never seen that before, to where there's Bibles out there that just simply you can interact with your smart device, take the picture, and then it gives you all of these different study tools. And I'm telling you, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. We live, and I don't mean to belabor this point, but we live in a time that there's zero excuses not to understand the Bible. And so at least we can grab a hold of things and we say, Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. You're the teacher. So all of those fears, when Pastor Jim says we need to be disciplers, that you need to disciple somebody, all those fears can go away because, oh, great, I don't need to be a teacher. Let Holy Spirit be the teacher. Number four, the priority is obedience, not just knowledge. Again, I'm not saying that you have to be in discipleship with someone just to get knowledge or be discipled by someone just to gain head smarts. It's just simple obedience. It's simple obedience. It's simply understanding that the Great Commission is there for us. Matthew 28, we just read it. We just have to be obedient. So I ask you today, as a Christian, how are your spiritual disciplines? How are your spiritual disciplines? Discipleship is one of those spiritual disciplines. Do you know what I'm talking about, Christian, when I say spiritual disciplines? I'm talking about those disciplines in our life that you and I need to partake of each and every day, whether it's prayer, you know, Bible reading, study, meditation, silence before God, right? That's a spiritual discipline. Did you know that? Did you know that maybe kind of being still and knowing He is God, that's written somewhere, right? I think. That's a spiritual discipline, slowing down, taking time, relaxing in the presence of the Almighty and meditating on His Word. How are your spiritual disciplines? We're going to talk about that later on, I think, and we're not going to talk about spiritual disciplines today, but discipleship. Discipleship is one of those spiritual disciplines that we just simply, God asks us, we've got to obey. Jesus told us, we've got to obey. It's not optional to make disciples. It's not optional. And so that priority is just being in obedience in our spiritual discipline. I talked about this last week. The root of discipleship begins with a heart passion to obey the Great Commission and to see the life of Jesus lived out in somebody else. It's just having that passion to say, God has blessed me so much. Thank you, Steve, for giving that to us this morning, reminding us that God has blessed us so much. Why wouldn't we want to pass the baton? Pass that blessing on to somebody else. I mean, we don't need to keep that in. We don't need to keep that in. And so the rest, number five, the rest is multiplication. And what that means is simply understanding that as you pass the baton, as you disciple someone else, the goal is not for them to keep that to themselves. But you're training somebody, you're teaching, you're helping, you're guiding, you're allowing and letting them understand that it's multiplication that will be taking place. Because as you start with someone, your goal is to simply say, don't keep this to yourself, but now in 6 months, you're going to disciple somebody else. And then that person says, in 6 months, you're going to disciple somebody else. And in 6 months, that person says, you're going to discipleship somebody else. Do you see if that took place, church, how much the kingdom would grow? I'm not talking about church growth here, people. We can't fit more people in this room. I'm not talking about church growth. I'm talking about kingdom growth. I'm talking about if every Christian did what we're supposed to do, can you imagine the multiplication that takes place? Every disciple, a disciple maker that makes disciples. Every disciple, a disciple maker that makes disciples. So we want to understand the fact that it's simple obedience. And can you imagine? I mean, let's just imagine today if you were in a relationship in a discipleship relationship with one other person. Can you imagine the difference you could make for the kingdom of God? Just think about it. I want us to take that time really to think about it. Let's do this for fun. Think of a person in your life. Just think of a person. Let's just stop talking about theories and concepts and ideas. Think of a person with a soul. Right now, everybody think of one. I mean, this person may know Jesus or not. That's okay. Think of someone that you care about or that someone that maybe God has put in your life for some reason. Think of that person right now. Everybody got one? Everybody got a person? Think of a person. Now think of that if you started praying for that person. Every morning, every day, every day, every day. Just one person, that's it. That's all you're doing, one person. You're not asking for world peace here. You're not asking for a people group. You're not saying, oh, Lord, I pray for the United States of America that they'd all fall on their knees and bow down to you. Nope, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm saying, would you pray for one person in your life that you can say, Lord, I would love to completely have your Holy Spirit impact their lives. Can you imagine the kingdom growth out of that? So I'll take a look at the next slide to get a little bit more detailed on Bible study stuff. So of course we went through Bibles, the text, right? This is maybe an equipping part right now. I'm going to try to equip you. The Bible is the text. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. We got through all of that. And so what you'd do is with your person or one other person, again, we want to make sure that those just because things can get weird, gender specific, right? Guys, we want to disciple guys. Ladies, we want to disciple ladies. I mean, that just helps. That helps that sometimes it could you're getting like intimate relationships and guys with guys, because that just would help any kind of temptation, because I'm not going to be discipling another woman. That's not healthy. So guys, ladies. You read a section of scripture together. Maybe you're saying, hey, we're going to go through the book of Matthew. And we go through that book of Matthew, and we're going to say we're going to read half of a chapter this week. And you read through it. You read that section of scripture together, and you talk about some of these questions. And again, this is just simple. This is just something that I'm giving you as a tool to show you that discipleship can be simple. It doesn't have to be crazy. Number one, what does it say about the nature of God? What is the nature of God in this passage of scripture? You talk about it. Hey, what do you think? Well, I think God was cool. Hey, what do you think? Yeah, he's pretty cool. Check. Number one's done. Great. Number two, what does this say about the nature or the character of people, us? We read through a passage of scripture with your person you're discipling, and you're like, yeah, people really stink. Okay, how about you? What do you think about people in this, according to this passage of scripture? Yeah, people really stink. Great. Simple. Check. Number two. See, how do I apply these principles in my life? How do you stink? Well, this is how I stink. How do you stink? This is how I stink. You get the point, you guys. I'm really dumbing this down for me. I need it dumbed down. This is how I work, you guys. I need things super simple. Super simple. And then who can I share this with this week? So you learn, you kind of grow together. And you might take two or three or four people. Anytime you get bigger than four in that kind of discipleship relationship, you know, you can only say so much and then your time gets away from you. But I'm telling you, it's good stuff. We did I did a discipleship group with a group of guys. Just two of us. I was the third, two guys. And we literally said, we only have 50 minutes to do this per week. Busy people. We were all just busy with schedules, family, work, everything going on. And so we kind of coined it. We were just like, yeah, we went with it. We're like, we're spending 50 minutes, 50 together. We're going to etch out 50 minutes together. And I'm telling you what, we stuck to the 50 minutes. And it was beautiful. It was great. It was so fantastic. And we made sure, we're like, yep, 50 minutes is done. We got to go to work. We got to get moving on our day. Simple, you guys, simple. We're not asking you to give up hours and hours on these beautiful Saturday mornings in discipleship. The process is simple. And so this morning, I wanted to just give you some tools in your toolbox as Christians, as we think about discipleship. And this is something that, like I said before, I want our church to be a church of disciplers who are making disciples, who make disciples. Band can come on up this morning as we kind of close down. And so today, I want you to do a couple of things, I guess. And you remember that person I had you... That person I had you kind of think of in your mind. That person that I had you think of in your mind. I want you to do something. I want you to commit this week to praying for that person every day. Right? I'm a simple guy. I'm telling you, I'm simple. 7 days. I think you can handle it. 7 days. I'm not saying 7 weeks, 7 months, 7 years. Why don't you give it 7 days and say, Lord, this person may need you. this person struggling with their relationship with you, or struggling in their marriage, or struggling at work. Pray about them. Pray for them. See what happens after 7 days. Ask for opportunities. Say, Holy Spirit, I pray that some way, somehow, I would get the guts to ask them to discipleship. I don't know what it is for you. You're all different. You all have different scenarios, but commit right now to say, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to commit to 7 days to praying for that person. That's it. Just every morning. My wife likes to draw something on her hands to remind her, right? Until she washes it. Put it on your cell phone, right? Make an alarm every morning or something like that. I've heard some people do that. Pray for that one person today. I mean, this week, for 7 days, Sunday to Sunday, and just pray. Maybe God's going to lead you in a different prayer that I'm even saying. I don't know. I don't know what Holy Spirit's going to do. But if you commit to a 7-day prayer, say, God, I'm going to pray for this person. Use me. Help me. Help us to put us together somehow. Maybe at work, you're going to bump into each other over the coffee pod and say, oh, hey, I haven't talked to you in forever. Oh, yeah. That's God. And just say, hey, listen, I put together a little group of guys, or just a couple of us getting together for some discipleship stuff, maybe some quick Bible stuff. Would you be interested? And just come, just man, I'm telling you, I'll stop. I got to stop rambling because I get passionate about this. We got to keep it simple. We got to keep it simple. So let's pray this week. Let's ask God for that one person. If you really are gutsy, ask for two. If you really are like, okay, God, maybe two, maybe three. I don't know. Would you pray with me today? Let's start our 7 days this morning right now. Let's start our 7 days this morning right now. Would you pray for that person? Pray them by name. God knows them. God created them. Pray them by name. Lord, I pray for this person. I pray for this person. I pray. Would you just pray? Don't believe the lie that the devil's telling you right now that you're not good enough. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. The devil is talking to somebody and saying, you are not a good enough Christian to do this. Don't believe it. Don't believe the lie that he's bringing up of all the sin that you've committed this last week. The devil right now is bringing up those sins one at a time in your life. He's saying, you remember that? You've got this in your life. You've got this in your life. Don't believe the lies that the devil's going to bring up to you and say, you are worthless, you are no good. How could you possibly disciple somebody? Cast you out in the name of Jesus, Satan. Be gone. Those are lies. We're forgiven by the blood of Jesus. We're forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, all of our sin. We're forgiven. And so this is a battleground, you guys. This is a battleground. This is a battleground. Don't believe the lies of the evil one that's saying you're not good enough to be on the team. You are good enough through the blood of Jesus Christ to be on the team of disciplers, the very people that Jesus said we need to be discipling people. Be disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Don't believe the lies that Satan's going to bring to you. And so, Lord, today we pray for our church. I pray for myself, Lord, that we would commit and obey to make disciples, that we'd continue, Lord, to be used by you, not believing the lies that Satan continually puts in our way, that we're not a teacher, we're not good enough, I couldn't possibly understand what the Bible is saying, I don't have a Bible, Lord, I just pray against all of those excuses in the name of Jesus this morning. So, Lord, that we would be a church that disciples, so that kingdom work would be accomplished. We praise you, God, this morning. We thank you. If you'd like to stand and let's sing this final song today as we worship, let's give God thanksgiving this morning.